I always enjoy hearing those ladies sing. I enjoy hearing everyone sing here at the church. And we're thankful that you use your talent to serve the Lord. We have been studying in the life of David. Before I get into the message this evening in depth, I would like to give you an opportunity. We've also been memorizing some scripture. And perhaps you've got some scripture you'd like to share with the church tonight. It doesn't have to be the scripture we've been memorizing. We memorized Psalm 19. We've memorized John 1, 1 through 18, and John 3. I thought it was 1 through 18, but I've been told it was 1 through 17. So, you know, we'll take either. Anyone prepared to come and quote? Now, we had several people. Was it last week or week before last that came? Anyone tonight that would like to come and share some scripture? It doesn't have to be those passages. Maybe it's a passage that God's given you. It doesn't even have to be a passage. Maybe it's one verse that God's given you. Anyone before we get into the message? Okay. No one? Anyone in here know any scripture by memory? What is it, John 8:35, Jesus wept? Is that John 8:35? Okay, Brother Bruce. Let's get Brother Bruce a mic. Let's get him a mic, okay? Let's see. Brother David, would you take him a mic? I would ask you to come up here, Brother Bruce, but you know, people fall to pieces up here. Bruce said, no problem. Piece of cake, Chief. Brother Bruce quoted Psalm 19. That was a blessing. And maybe tonight it's Psalm 119. I don't know. No pressure. Okay.
John 1 through 18.
Oh, amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was with God. All things was made by Him, and without Him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended not.
There was a man?
No.
Yeah.
There was a man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was a man named...
Yeah. Don't dispute me, brother.
There was a man sent from God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Then he came as a witness to bear witness that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the light, that was the true light, which lighted every man that comes into the world. He came into the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God, to even them that believed on his name, which was born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, as the glory of the Father, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, and full of grace and truth. John bare the witness to him and cried, saying, this is who I spake of. He came after He that came after me is before me, and he was before me. And his fullness have we all receive, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God, not at any time, only the begotten Son, which is in his bosom of his Father, he hath declared him.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Amen. I didn't do anything, and I'm sweating. Amen. Good job, Brother Bruce. Amen. Hung in there. That's good. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right. William's got some scripture. That's good, Brother William.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Good job. Good job. All right, Brother Graves, you have your hand up, or was she swatting a fly? Yeah, don't swat any flies during the scripture memory time. We'll have the mic in your hand in no time.
I'm still working on John 3, but tonight I'd like to quote for you a passage, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 23. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, things that are in heaven and things that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is the head of the church, and he is the head of the body, the church. And he is the head of the body, the church. The firstborn from the beginning. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh by death to present you holy and unblameable and reprovable in his sight. If ye be grounded in the faith, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone before we get into the message? Anyone? You have your hand up? Or are you pointing at somebody? He's got his hand up over here. Brother Ryan. He's normally volunteering other people, but tonight he's volunteering himself. Let's go, Brother Ryan.
Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself.
Amen. Amen. Good job, Ryan. Anyone else? Okay, Cindy wants to quote a verse over here. Stand up, Cindy. Amen, so we can see you there. Show us what Mama's been teaching you.
Can I say John 3:16?
You sure can.
The gospel of the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen. Good job. Amen. That's good. Anyone else? Anyone else? You got your hand up back there, young man? Here's a young man in the back there that has his hand up.
And God,
hold up. Stand up there, young man. Stand up. All right, now.
And God said, let there be light. Well, this is Genesis 1, 3 through 4.
Okay.
God said, let there be light, and there was light, and he saw that light was good and divided it through the darkness. With the darkness, yeah. Divided it.
That's okay. Good job. Hey, good job. Good job. Listen, I mean, you folks act like you're going to get a trophy for this. You know, well, you don't get a trophy, but you do get a reward in heaven. And I just appreciate each one of you that have committed Scripture to memory. And just because you don't stand up and quote in church doesn't mean you're not committing Scripture to memory. But I think it does encourage others to memorize Scripture. I tell you this, it'll change your life. Memorizing Scripture will change your life. It'll change your thought life. It'll just really change your life. And so I really encourage you, if you are not memorizing Scripture, please start. And if you are, please continue. We have a young lady right here, Brother David. Stand up there. I knew if I kept talking, somebody was going to just break out. All right, Maddie.
Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Amen. Good job. Who else? Anyone else? If you're raising your hand, you might have to wave it. Sometimes it just... Anyone before we get into the Word? I really appreciate each one, but it just really blesses my heart to hear the children quoting the Scripture. But it's a blessing for anyone quoting Scripture. All right. I think that's it. Oh, we have somebody. Who? Logan. Take it over there, Logan. By the way, Logan came to me for the last 2 weeks. Logan has come to me after the Sunday night service and quoted Scripture to me.
Amen.
And so tonight he said, you know what? This is more for than the preacher.
Can I say Acts 16:31?
You sure may.
Acts 16:31. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
Amen.
Acts 16:31.
Good job. Who else? Anyone else? Man, these little children are putting us to shame. Amen. Let's get an adult to stand up. Alan said he's been sick, man. Just give him time. He's going to bounce back. Good to see Brother Alan. I don't know. Just there's some folks that hear every service, and when you're not here, it's not the same without you. We just appreciate our faithful members. Appreciate all of our members, but when you're faithful, just add something to the service. Somebody's pointing to somebody, but okay. All right, Talia.
John 3:1-17. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Jesus be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born.
We speak
that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. That's excellent, young lady. Excellent job. I told her yesterday, she came up here for visiting. She came up here to go out soul winning, and her and Tara, and I had those glasses on. I said, it's the glasses. I'm telling you, they look sophisticated. I'm going to quit wearing contacts. I'm going to get me a pair of glasses. That was excellent, Talia. That was excellent. Tell you, we've got some smart young folks in this church. Spiritual young folks. Hiding God's word in their heart. Anyone else? Just think, we could have stopped before these last two or three and look what we would have missed. Anyone else? All right, that's it now. Again, thank you for hiding God's word in your heart. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for us. Though I will say it is a blessing to me. You may not be doing it for me, but you sure are challenging me and you're blessing my heart. I'm being blessed by it. You're doing it for you. And it makes a change in your life when you hide God's word in your heart. It's work. Amen. You ever memorize a chapter of the Bible? You say, I've never done it. Don't intend on it. Well, I'll tell you this. If you ever decide to change your mind on that, it's work. Amen. But it sure is rewarding. Amen. It sure is rewarding. And so I just want to encourage you. You say, why do you memorize Scripture? Well, first of all, because God said so. Second of all, because Jesus showed so. He showed that's the way you fight the devil. It is written. It is written. When you start quoting Scripture now, when you're under attack, when you're under assault, when you're being tempted, that's your way out. There is a way to escape. How is that, preacher? It is written. It sure is. So I'm just thankful. Let me encourage you now to get into Scripture memory. All right. Let's do this. I want to just bring us, just give a little background of where we've been, and then I'm going to kind of take us a little bit of where we want to go in the next, two or three weeks in the life of David. A lot of life lessons in 1 and 2 Samuel, the Kings, the Chronicles, that we can learn from. They're just good life principles that help us. One of my favorite studies in all the Bible, but in particular the Old Testament, is the studies of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, in particular the life of David and the things that surround his life and his reign. Let's start back. Turn, if you would, just a couple chapters back to chapter number 16, and I'm just going to kind of walk us up. And then I want to take us to the, I have three thoughts on my heart. And so take about 30 minutes, and I want to talk to you about three thoughts, okay? And I want you to write these thoughts down. Now, I'm going to build up to these three thoughts, because if I didn't, it might be difficult to understand why. So I want you to think about this. We've talked about, there's two main phases in David's life, just like there are in our life. So when God chooses you And God chose David. Now listen, I'm not a Calvinist, you know that. But when God says, I choose you, I'm going to use you, I'm going to convert you, I'm going to use you, there's some things that God has in store for us. Okay, God just doesn't save us and say, now, you know, you're on your own. He has a purpose and a plan for our life, just like he did David. Okay? Now, the two main things that we want to find in David's life is those years that I choose to call the formative years. Okay, God's forming David. He's young. He's in the house of his father. And God's working. And it seems like small things until you really begin to look at the big picture in David's life and you say, you know what? God was working in David's life back here to prepare him for what was going on right here. And God does that in all of our lives. Surely you have been saved for some time. Recognize that now. You recognize the times that you perhaps thought that God was silent or that God wasn't doing a whole lot in your life. Really what it was is God was training and preparing for things that he had for you and I to do in the future. You see, sometimes when we're involved in little things, and I understand in God's work that really there are no little things, but comparatively speaking, when we're involved in the little things, okay, we think, well, you know, I'm just someone who's involved in the little things. What am I? Right? What I'm doing small things, little things. Well, see, this is God's test. God's not going to just catapult you into the big things, the many things. God's going to see how you and I, how we handle the little things and the few things. And if we'll be faithful with those things, I remember where David's brother, if you'll look over in chapter 17, I said turn to chapter 16, but I just want to point this out while I'm on this point. Right in the middle of verse number 28 of chapter 17, Eliab, one of his eldest brothers, I mean, he was upset at David. You know, he's one of these guys that, you know, yeah, oh, David, he's one of those holier than thous. You know, he always showing off. You know, you've met that person before. Maybe it's somebody in your family. They're jealous of you. They don't like the fact that your life condemns their sin. I didn't say your lips now. I said your life. And so David went to the battle. And when he went to the battle, his eldest brother said this right in the middle, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep? You know, just a few things. You're just one of them small-time fellas. Well, I'm going to tell you, it didn't take him long to get to the many things. Because God saw, I can trust this fella right here with a few things. And when God sees that he can trust you, when God sees that he can trust me, when God sees that he can trust us as a church, with the little things, with the few things, God will put us in ministry with the big things, with the many things. And that's exactly what God did in David's life, and that is exactly what God will do in your life, and that's exactly what God will do in my life. And so if you're not in what's considered now, what's considered, well, the big things, the in front, you know, the platform, the presence, listen, that doesn't mean God's not using you. That means God's preparing you. God is always preparing. God is preparing his servants. And so now I want you to go back to chapter 16. Let's walk through this just quickly, okay? So you know the story. I want you to follow the steps here. In chapter 16, in verse number 13, the latter part, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Brethren, I'm telling you, God is so interested in your life. God wants to use you. I fear that so many people think, well, God doesn't want to use me. What do I have to offer God? Could you imagine David when he walked in that day into his father's house, into Jesse, and there was the man of God, the prophet of God, who said, God sent me here to anoint the next king of Israel. Are you listening? The next king of Israel. And David, been dealing with the sheep, he's probably thinking, well, there's no way this could be me. Yes. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord, David was probably thinking, I can't do this. Well, I can't either. I can't do what God's called me to do. By the way, you can't do what God's called you to do without God's help. And I'm glad that when God calls us, I'm glad that God enables us, aren't you? With the callings of God come the enablings of God. And here the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Why? Because God has something for him to do moving forward. And so he said, I'm going to be with you each step of the way. I'm so glad that when God saved me, listen, when God saved me, I didn't realize this. I had fear in my heart that I wouldn't be able to, to stick with it or whatever you want to call it. I didn't know theology. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And I was so afraid that I wasn't going to be able to follow through with this. But I'm so thankful that God taught me in His Word that He was going to see me through. That He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad of that? What a great principle. What a great promise. What a great truth in the Word of God that we need to hold on to. You say, well, preacher, I already know that. Well, I'm going to remind you tonight. God is going to see you through. God has something for you to do. You say, what is it? Well, I don't know. Ask Him. We're going to see in just a moment. That's the simplest way to find out. Right? So then, if you'll move down into chapter 16 and verse number 18, I don't have time to go through each one of these things. I'm just kind of bringing this up. I'm going to walk through this. It says, and the Lord was with him. So God was with him. All right? Now what is this saying? Well, it's saying that though that God made it known to David's brethren, his family, that he was with him, if you'll look down here, these are people that saw that God was with him. Can I tell you, when God is with you, people will notice. This is not his family. These are those people when Saul said, listen, I want you to, verse 17, to provide a man that can play well and bring him to me. And they said, we know the man. And we're going to tell you about this man. He's qualified. And they started laying out some of his qualifications. But really what they said in the latter part of verse number 18 sums it up. They said, and the Lord is with him. That's where it's at right there. Amen. The Lord is with him. And so then look, if you would, in verse number 21. So again, just a country boy now. Country boy, I want you just to follow this. Put yourself in this man's shoes. And by the way, God, what God has done for David, God is either he's already done it for you, he is doing it for you, or he will do it for you. So here's a country boy. He's just out tending the sheep. You know where he finds himself? In short order. You know what he finds himself in short order? Standing before the king. Can I tell you, God will put you in an audience with people that you can impact their lives. Important people. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. And David came to Saul and stood before him. Stood before the king of all the land. This little shepherd boy. Why? Because God was with him. Because the Spirit of God came on him. Because God said, I've got something for you to do. Who's God going to put you before? Who's God going to stand you before? You say, well, that preacher, what can I do? Oh, I don't know. With God's help, there's no telling what you can do. There's no telling what God wants to do with your life. You say, well, I can't quote scripture like some of these, and I can't this, and I can't that. Quit focusing on what you can't do and get interested and focused on what you can do with the help of God. Amen. God doesn't want you to be like me, and he doesn't want me to be like you. He doesn't want you to be like this one or that one. God wants you, I said it last week, to be the best version of you that he can make you. And if we will yield to his leading, then God will work in our lives. Look over, if you would, in the latter part of verse number 22 of chapter 16. He said, let David, right there in the middle, Saul had said to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. What a statement. Here's a little, again, little shepherd boy found favor. God had worked so much in his life, and God had worked in a situation that he had found favor in the sight of the king. And then you go down into chapter number 17, and this is a very familiar chapter, but there's some things in here that stand out to me. I want you to look at the last little phrase in verse number 23 of chapter 17. This is something, all right? So I'm reading along this past week, and I just saw this, and I've seen it probably dozens of times. I read verse number 11. It says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So get the picture, okay? Here's Goliath out, and I mean, he's just breathing threatenings, and he's defying God and the armies of Israel. And when Saul, the leader, and these people heard it, it just shook them up. But now you got a man, a young man who God is with him and the Spirit of God is on him. He heard him. Look again at the latter part of verse number 23. The Bible says that when David heard them, okay, he heard them talking about this Philistine and all that he was going to do. And I tell you, it just had a different effect on David. Can I tell you, when God's with you, When God has a purpose for your life, it'll have a different effect on you than what it has on other people. When you hear some things or you see some things, I mean, it just, listen, it'll stir you up. You just can't sit down and do nothing. When God is with you, listen, God is a God of activity. God is a God of action. Amen. And he wants us to be a people of action, not just talk. He wants us, listen, you say, well, I do this and I do that. Well, everybody has a different ministry. But I know this. I know God wants us to get involved in fighting the good fight. And here's what the scripture says. When David heard that. Now, I've been thinking about this. Me and Brother John have for years, we've had this little thing about, you know, by coincidence. By coincidence, David just happened to walk up at the time they were talking about this. You know why? God's sovereignty, brethren. He had David exactly where he wanted him, when he wanted him there, for the purpose he wanted him there. Then if you look down at verse number 26, David spake to the men that stood by him saying, what shall be done to this man? We're not going to just allow this to go on, are we? And then that leads to what I said, you know, the people around him and Eliab, they said, now listen, you're just going back home. There's no place for you. There'll always be people telling you, you can't do it. Could be your family like it was David. Could be the leadership like over in verse number 33. Saul said to David, thou art not able. You see that verse? Yeah, you can't do it, David. You can't do it. It might be your family. Might be your best friend. I don't know. Might be your preacher. I sure hope it's not this one that tells you you can't do something for God. So the Bible says this. The Bible says that David, when he heard that, David, I mean, it fired him up. And he asked a very searching question in verse number 29. He said, what have I now done? You know, you're accusing me. You're looking down on me. You're questioning me. Is there not a cause? You should be fired up like me. You should have some fire in your bones like me. And then the scripture says that you know, he began to ask, and then we look at where, again, I'm just kind of going through. I said that our greatest enemy sometimes can be those that tell us in verse 33 that you can't do it. Then if you'll look in verse number 34, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. He said, I want to tell you something. And there's a great lesson right here now. Okay, I sure hope you don't just read through verses 34 through 37 and not see what God's trying to teach here. You might think when you're in those formative years and those things that seem insignificant, I mean just you and God now. As far as I can tell, nobody knew about this but God and David and some animals, some sheep, a bear, and a lion. But God taught him a lesson, and no one else knew about it. But see, God knew this day was coming. See, God sees all things. He knew this day was coming. And so God done build his man's confidence up. God done put something in this young man's heart so that when everybody else was fainting and saying, we can't do it, what are we going to do? He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. God's already showed me what he can do. When I was on the backside of nowhere keeping the sheep, there's a bear came and a lion came, and God took care of him. We're going to take care of this Philistine too, amen. Amen. So what I learned from that, what a great life lesson, that my past history with God can be counted on for what God's going to continue to do for me in my future. Amen. Amen. God's done it, and God will do it again. Yes, God's faithful that way. And so we move on down and navigate through this scripture, and really it comes down to where God teaches David one of the greatest lessons of his life. And the greatest lesson that God taught David can be overlooked. You say, well, I know what it is. He slew the Philistine. Oh, no. That might not even be in the top 10. You know what God taught David? David, this is not your battle. This is the Lord's battle. David couldn't slay no Philistine on his own. David knew that. He even said the battle, look if you would, in verse number 47, all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's. See, God had taught David that. This is the Lord's battle. Now, what are you going through? You say, preacher, I don't think I've got what it takes to get the victory over this. Well, you just, listen, you let God fight your battles. Now, you say, well, I'm just going to sit down and let God do it. Well, that's not what David did. He had a sling and five smooth stones, amen, and he ran toward the enemy. So don't sit down and think God's going to do it. Listen, you've got to get engaged somehow, right? But you've got to trust God to use the ability and the resources that He supplied. That's faith. And so we finish up here in chapter number 17. You look over in verse number 12. There's a great lesson, not in verse number 12, but verse number 52. There's a great lesson here. You say, well, what I do doesn't matter. I just watched it happen. I was looking out over the congregation, and as people begin to quote Scripture, I seen interest start to gain, and I watched the children in particular. Brethren, can I tell you that children want to see people that's going to serve God and step up and do something. Amen. They want to see that. It's important. And so here's David, and he does something. Now, do you remember those guys that were cowering and saying, oh, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, this guy's big. We're outmatched. We can't do it. David stepped up by faith, claimed the victory, let God work. Now, I want you to read verse 52 with me. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they come into the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sheraraim, even into Gath and into Ekron. I mean, they chased after them. These people that were cowering down saying, we can't do it. What are we going to do? Wringing their hands and worrying. When he by faith claimed the victory, when he stepped out and done something for God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, listen, it influenced people. So will it in your life and mine. So will it in our lives. Then you get over to chapter number 18, and we've seen where Saul was talking to David, and there again, just so happened, Brother John, that God had Jonathan standing right in the wings. And we talked about this last week, about where we ended. And God said, David, you're going to need a friend. I'm going to give you a friend. And he gave him a friend like Jonathan. What a friend. If you've never studied the friendship between David and Jonathan, I encourage you to do that. It is something. It is challenging. It challenges me to be a better friend to people. I mean, here is a young man that gave up. Listen, you know, Jonathan was not just Saul's son. He was his oldest son, which meant he was heir to the throne. He was heir to the throne. And yet he looked at David and said, you know what? God's going to make you king. As a matter of fact, if you look in chapter number 18 and verse number 2, he just went ahead and spelled it out there. The Bible says that on chapter number 18, verse number 3, then Jonathan and David, and we talked about the covenant they made, and he loved him as his own soul. Verse 4, Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to the sword, to his bow and his girdle. He said, you're the next king. God's made you the next king. And later on, and we've seen it last week, he said, my dad knows this is going to happen. He's not happy about it, but he knows it's going to happen. And the covenant he made, he said, the only thing I ask is you'll let me be second in command. I want to stand beside you. I want to serve with you. Amen. Those were the formative years. You see what God was doing there? God was working in David. He was showing David, David, I'll fight your battles. David, you trust me. David, you look to me. David, don't look to the wrong places now. Don't look to the wrong people. But it can happen, even unto a man after God's own heart. Now, I want you to watch the transition here. It goes from the formative years to the fugitive years. And oh my, David gets in a bad place. Now, it can happen. Oh, preacher, it won't happen to me. Oh, yes, it can. Now, I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying it can. David goes from a man of great faith. Faith is leading him, and now all of a sudden, fear is dictating to him. You know, you got to watch that fear. Fear will get you in a bad place in your life. I want you to listen very carefully as we now talk about these three things. And I'm just going to highlight them. Tribulation and trials. That's the first thing. Fear, it went to work on David. He began to be a man on the run. As a matter of fact, if you'll look, and we pointed this out, I think, one time before. In chapter 19, notice, if you would, right toward the end of that scripture, it says, and David fled and escaped that night. Chapter 19, verse 10. You see that? Look at chapter 19, verse number 12. And Micah let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Look at chapter 19, verse 18. And David fled. Chapter 20, verse 1. And David fled. Chapter 20, verse 24. So David hid himself in the field. Chapter 21, verse 10. And David arose and fled that day, watch this now, for the fear of Saul. He's on the run. Fear is making decisions for him. What he's going to do, who he's going to be with, where he's going to go. Can I tell you, fear should never make those decisions for you or I. Fear is a terrible leader. Do not let fear take over your life. Fear can be a device of the devil. The Bible says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And the Bible says here in chapter number 22, it says that David, chapter 22, verse number 1, that David departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. So David's on the run. Fear has gripped his heart. Here's a man that had great faith. Here's a man that stood up to a mammoth giant. Here's a man that had confidence in what God could do. And then somehow, through a series of things, fear gripped his heart. And he began to leave God out of the equation. He began to make decisions that was guided by fear and emotion. Now, I want you to listen. I've been doing this a long time. 35 years I've been pastoring. I've talked to a lot of Christians. I've had a lot of people. I've seen them go. All right? And this thing called fear, and this thing called making decisions, leaning on your own understanding, has caused people about as much problem as anything I could name to you tonight. Where people say, well, you know, preacher, I feel good about it. Oh, listen to me. That means nothing. That should mean nothing to you. What saith the scriptures? Amen. Amen. I just feel good about it. That should mean nothing. I just got a feeling. I'd rather have a verse. Don't let emotion, don't let fear guide you. David's on the run now. Okay? You know what David did? And again, I'm just talking about trials. He got himself in a bad way. I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. He ends up, look if you would, in chapter 21. In chapter 21, David goes down to Elimelech, the priest. You see it there? Chapter 21, where he goes down to Elimelech. He's the priest. And David asks for bread and a sword. I'm not going to go through this. I hope you read it. Jesus, by the way, Jesus alludes to this when he's speaking to the Pharisees about the showbread. And David said, you know, he's some hungry. He said, you got any common bread? And he said, well, I don't have any common bread. He said, we've got some holy bread. He said, we've got some showbread. And he said, well, I'll take it. He said, well, David didn't deserve it. What do you have that you deserve? Amen? It's amazing sometimes how that, and we all do it if we're not careful, okay? It's amazing. We can say, well, you know what, oh, so-and-so, they don't deserve that. But then you got to ask your question, what do I have that I don't deserve? What do you mean David don't deserve that? Somehow we've got this thing, and it's mixed up, brother. It's just not right. But we've got this thought in our mind that, you know what, we get what we get because we're good. It's not our goodness that God provides. It's God's goodness that He provides. Amen. Let me say that again. Our goodness has little to nothing to do with God's provision. That's God's goodness. Amen. Amen. That's God. Listen, just because you have, that doesn't mean you're good. That means God's good. And somehow we've got this thing mixed up. And you read this account and you read where David goes to Elimelech and he says, listen, he said, I need bread and I need a sword. And I don't know if you know the story, but he said, listen, he said, I don't have but one sword in the house. And he said, it's wrapped in the ephod. He said, it's Goliath the giant. It's his sword. And David said, you know, there's none better. Give it to me. And David ends up in chapter number 21. David ends up compromising the high priest. There just so happened to be one of Saul's spies, Doeg the Edomite, nearby. And he heard this conversation. And because David, now listen to me, there's a great life lesson here. And because David wasn't where he should be and in the frame of mind that he should be, and because he's running and fear is controlling his life, he makes some ill-advised decisions. You know, when I'm out of God's will, I make some bad decisions. As a matter of fact, the most terrible decisions I've ever made in my life is when I was not in tune with God. You be careful about being out of tune with God. I'm just going to be here for a little while, preacher. That's all it takes to ruin your life. Amen. Yes. And David made, listen, you say, well, it seems like he came through it all right. Well, let's just see. So he's meeting with the priest, Elimelech, and he says, I need bread, I need a sword. And then you know the story how that Saul heard and he called Elimelech in and he told his footman, let me see if I can find it here, in verse number 17, verse 16 of chapter 22. Are you there? Chapter 22, verse number 16. The king said unto, verse 16 of chapter 22, the king said, thou shalt surely die, Elimelech, thou and all thy father's house. Now, this is the priest that David went to. And he asked him for something. Now, if you'll read, you'll find where he said, I don't know. He said, there's something not right. He said, why are you alone? Right? You've read this, right? Oh, I hope you have. I hope you've read it recently. If you haven't, I pray you'd go home and read it this week. When David came to him, he said, hey, why are you alone? He said, well, I'm on a special mission from the king. Right? And he said, nobody should. Secret. Secret. Nobody should know. Just a secret. He said, don't you worry. He said, you know, just give me some bread, some rations for my men, and give me a sword, and everything will work out. See, on the run, out of God's way, out of God's will, making decisions on the fly, driven by fear, led by emotion, thinking, well, you know what possibly could go wrong? Oh, I don't know, maybe 85 priests being slain, and their families in Nod, every one of them slain. And David said, oh, what a terrible decision I made. And he told Abiathar, he said, you know what, it's me. I'm the cause. My decision that I made out of the will of God when I was controlled by fear, when I was running and I was making decisions on my own and I wasn't seeking God. See, it'll get you in trouble. Daily walk with God means something. It's not just something the preacher gets up and carries on about. Brethren, it's important. There are lives at stake. Could be your own. It's just important. If you'll look down, David, in verse number 22, David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day. You see it there in chapter 22, verse 22? He said, I knew it. You know, isn't it something? When I read this, there's been times in my life I just knew, you know, this stuff probably not going to turn out well. But sometimes you can get yourself in so deep that the devil tells you, you don't need to turn around. Just finish it out. It'll be all right. So I believe that's what David's admitting here. Look what he said in verse 22. He said to Abiathar, listen, this is the son. He said, oh my goodness, what have I done? He said, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Wow. Wow. I tell you, it means something, brethren. The decisions that we make, there could be a lot riding on it. There could be a lot hinging. It could mean something for somebody's future, maybe their life. So please, I'm saying grab this principle and let God speak to your heart as he spoke to my heart, and may God help us to stay honed in on this truth that decisions matter. They should be thought through. They should be prayed over. We shouldn't just do things on the fly because it feels good or seems right or You know, it's just not, it's not wise. And so David, led by fear, makes some terrible decisions. Let me bring this to a close now. We're going to get into depth in this. But that first thing is tribulation and trials. And listen, it cost David. It did. But can I tell you that God never lets things go to waste? He never does. God uses this to train David. It teaches David. I don't know about you, but I want to go back again to 22:22. I can read the remorse and the hurt and the sorrow in what David is saying. David said unto Abiathar, I knew it. I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. It's my fault. That's a terrible place to be in. It really is. Where you are directly responsible because of a poor decision, an ungodly decision, a selfish decision that it has cost people. Maybe it didn't cost, listen, it cost this whole area, Nob. It cost everyone there their life. It's a terrible thing. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying be careful. And then David said, you know, I don't want to feel this way again. I don't like feeling this way. And God said, well, I want to train you. I want you to learn from this. And he did. He did. God got his attention. And David said, I'm not going to be led by fear. In chapter 23, the Bible says in verse 1, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Watch verse number 2. You'll not find this now in verse 21 and 22, or chapter 21 and 22. Then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I? God, you tell me what to do. I don't want to do what I want to do. I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I knew where I should be. We're talking about a man who ended up in the enemy territory. He was fighting. Listen, he was seeking refuge in enemy territory. The king of Gath, Achish, right? Again, you've read this. If you haven't read it recently, I really encourage you to. It's a bad thing when a Christian seeks refuge in enemy territory. The world has no answers for you. Please listen to me. Brethren, the world has no answers for us. The world doesn't know how to handle spiritual affairs. It doesn't. The world doesn't have anything for us. But this book has everything we need. If we would just seek the counsel of the Lord, when will we learn? God help us. God have mercy on us. When will we learn? The world has nothing for us. This is the answer right here. God's given us the answer. Now, David learned, unfortunately, there were many people that lost their life. But he learned. He said, I inquired of the Lord. It encompasses two things, and I'm going to close with this. It encompasses prayer, he inquired, and the word of God. God answered. Because his inquiry was this. Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said, that's God's word. Prayer is the inquiry was, shall I go? That's prayer. And then the Lord spoke and said, go. See, when we ask God, he'll tell us. You don't have to just kind of try to find. Some people act like finding God's will is just like searching for, I don't know, something at the bottom of the sea, treasure or something. It's just not. God's will can be found in God's word. May not be as plain as each time, but if we'll just stick with it. Now, this is what I want you to see about that. Say, well, I've been seeking God's will. Well, you keep seeking. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 3. After David inquired of the Lord, he said, shall we go? And he said, you go. He said, David, you go in verse number 2. Then look at verse number 3. David's men said unto him, behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah? against the armies of the Philistines. See, now David, his men are getting like him. He was driven by fear. Now they're driven by fear. And I want you to watch what David said. He said, oh, no, I didn't learn my lesson. I like what verse number 4 says. Then David inquired of the Lord, look at this, yet again. See, there's sometimes we just have to pray more than one time about something. Right? You say, well, I prayed about it and I didn't get an answer. Well, that doesn't mean quit praying. That means keep praying. Amen. Right, brethren? You know these things, right? We just need to be reminded. These are simple life principles, but there's things that God wants to teach us. And then if you'll move down in the middle of verse number 11, David said, will the men of... verse number 10, David said, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. God said, I'll guide you if you'll let me. But if you want to run off in fear and just act on emotion and do what you think is right, now God will let you do that too. And he'll try to stop you. But if you insist, God will say, okay. So there's training. We had tribulation, we had trial, and then we had training. All right? Next week, we'll get in a little detail. We finally see the triumph. That's the third thing. If I were to ask you tonight, what's the greatest thing that David accomplished in his life? Now think about that before you answer it. What's the greatest thing that David accomplished in his life? We'd probably get several different answers. I think the greatest thing that David ever accomplished in his life was in a cave. I do. When he was a fugitive. Not when he was on the throne as a king. Saul hated David. You ever had anyone hate you? Doesn't feel good. Have you ever hated anyone? That doesn't feel good either. It doesn't. Do you know there's three ways that we can respond in life? Read Romans chapter 12. You can do evil for good. That's the devil's way. Yeah. You can do good for good, or you can do evil for evil. That's man's way. Anybody can do that. You do good to me, I'll do good to you. You do evil to me, I'll do evil to you. That's man's way. The devil's way, I don't care how good you do, I'm going to do evil to you anyway. Right? But then there's, you do evil to me, I'm going to do good to you. That's God's way. There's only three ways to respond. I believe David's greatest feat was when Saul walked into that cave. He had his enemy right where he wanted. You read it in chapter 24. His men were telling him, take him out. God's put him in your hand today. You've waited for this time. Take him out. David said, no, I'm not going to do that. I wonder what I would have done. Somebody run me out of town. My wife had to let me down through a window to escape. I mean, just after me, running me down like an animal, like a dog, throwing javelins, trying to take my life. After me. And then I get an opportunity to take him out, what would you do? David said, I'm not going to do it. I believe that was his, he got victory. You said, well, he didn't get victory. Oh, yes, he did. Because that day, you know what Saul said? You're the king. Read it, chapter 24. Saul never would admit it. But when that day David cut that piece off of his garment, listen to me now, off his skirt, he said, I could have took you out, but I didn't, because that's not God's way. I'm going to let God do it. God taught me way back there that he would fight my battles, and I've gotten away from that. He taught me that day with the Philistine that he would fight my battles, and I've got away from it, but I don't want to get away from it again. I'm going to let God fight this battle too. And you know what? God did. He did. And Saul left that day saying, you're going to be the next king. The only thing I ask is you don't take my family out now and my seed. Don't do that. What a great godly man David was. Say, well, he made all kinds of mistakes. That doesn't take away from the fact that he sure was a man after God's own heart. Let's stand to our feet. I'm eager to get into these three facets, these three areas of David's life, the trials and the training, and then the triumph. You know, I don't know too many people that want a cave experience. But when I look at the life of David, I see that that's really what made him the man that he was. Those trying times, those testing times, God just showed himself to David in a way that just really prepared him to be the great king that he became. As we bow our heads this evening, maybe there's someone here tonight, you're in a cave.